live. Welcome to folks. It is Wednesday, October the 1st, 2008. I think I almost said August there. Probably because I'm wishing it was August, not for the weather, but to have 2 months back right now on this year would be great, but that's not how it works. Time moves forward. Tick tock, tick tock. The clock ticks for us all, and that means that you need to work really hard to make sure you're getting things done while you can. That's an impetus I put on you all the time. We have a special guest today named Letty Lou, and she comes to the TSB community, I believe, via Nicole Sauce. I know those two are like besties and stuff, but I really think that's like where she came into the community was through the Nicole Network, and she specializes in making the most out of time. We're going to be talking about today about how you can burn your to-do list and build a system, and how administrative assistants can help with that, a virtual assistant. That is the core of what Letty does, but we'll be talking about a lot of things today as well that can help you even if you continue to manage things on your own. We'll dig into AI a little bit. Letty's awesome. She's actually one of the Big Brother Big Sisters for class 002 in the AI course. She took the first class, and she's kind of hanging out in our virtual classroom helping the last class. That was an advantage they didn't have, was having a big brother or big sister to help them out. So she's just a great gal, and I was really excited when I got her application to be on the show, to know that we could bring her on and let her talk to y'all. Before we get her on, though, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. And sponsor of the day, number one today, is Fortress K9. And canineacademy.us. Canine Academy is where you can learn to train yourself to train your dog. You can learn that from a good friend of mine named Joel Riles. Joel has been working with dogs for decades now. He's very good at what he does. He's one of those guys that seems like a dog savant, you know, like he just walk up and the dog's all freaked out. He's like chilling. The dog's like, okay, what do I do now? Not everybody has that energy, but the techniques that get you almost there, they're actually not that hard to learn. There are no bad dogs. There's just bad dog trainers, and that could be you. If you want to train your dog to do anything, to be a hunting dog, to be a protection dog, to be a livestock guardian dog, to just be a good citizen in the home and on the homestead and not like eat your chickens or jump on people, it all starts with core obedience, and that's the course that I recommend everybody take that is a dog lover at canineacademy.us, and then you can go on to more advanced courses from there. If you're not sure yet, guess what? There's a problem-solving library, which is basically a very short and free course you can register for and take, and that way you can get a feel for how Joel teaches and if it's what you want to continue with. Check it out today at canineacademy.us. Next today is Above Phone, where you can break limits and go above. Do you know that you actually have a lot of people spying on you? It's not just your government. You, the device manufacturer, is spying on you, whether it's the people that make the Android phones or the people that make the iPhone, they're spying on you. The people that make the apps that go on there, yeah, they're spying on you too. Your carrier is spying on you and gathering information on you. And then, of course, it all goes to the government. But you know what also goes to? It goes to anybody willing to pay enough money to get it. I mean, really, that's how this data collection works. So I really encourage you to learn more about Above Phone and the offerings that they have. The Above Phone, of course, they also have Above Tablets and Above Books. So they got you covered all the way across the board. There's an in-app store where you can get apps that do not track you. They can't even get in there if they do. And if you do need to use some sort of an app that can only be had at either Google Play or on the iTunes store or whatever, you can still run that. But you can put it in a little jail where it only can do what it does when you let it out. On top of this, if you're not really ready to make that jump yet, you can learn about some really great privacy options that you have even without switching over. There are 4 value-packed webinars that you can get at Above Phone. All you can just give your name and email, and they'll set you up. And remember, if you do want to pick up an Above Phone, you can get $75 off any Above Phone at AbovePhone.com if you're a member of the MSB. The discount code is in your back office of your member support brigade. With that, let me introduce our special guest today, Letty Lou. Letty, how you doing today?
Doing all right, Jack. I just have to correct you. I came to TSB first, and okay, then I ended up with the LFTN crew. So okay, it's you're the reason I'm here, so thanks.
Okay, cool. Cool. It's been 17 years. I don't have an inward track on everybody. Don't have that level of analytics working on the site. But that's cool to hear, too. I just, yep. I know you guys are really tight. You guys really hit it off, I think, right away.
Yeah, we're you're giving me a break from SRS stuff right now, so
appreciate it. A break, or I'm actually draining your resources from the cold. That's either way, yes. It's a win for me.
Yes, and I'm getting like fresh mindset for when I have to edit a video of what is it? Goats watching them pack the trailer to get ready to go. So I'll look at that with fresh eyes next.
So let's go ahead and do a bit of a throwback. Like, just tell people, like, what was your professional background before you got into what you do today? Like, when you got out of school or whatever, you probably weren't thinking, I'm going to be a virtual assistant and help people with small businesses and things like that. You probably did something else. And what was the path that led you to this?
So I wanted to be a doctor. I took my first chem class in college and was like, screw that. And I went pre-law.
Okay.
Finished two universities with no degree, came home and got into loss prevention. So that was back when you could actually like grab people and tackle them and handcuff them, bring them back to your office. I spent some time doing that and got really into investigating the internal theft from the stores as well as the organized crime groups that were coming in. And after, I think I did 6 years of that, I was like, I don't like this anymore. I want to be able to tackle people, or I want to do the investigations.
Okay.
So I became a paralegal. And I worked in-house. I didn't get to do all the, like, the suits paralegal stuff. I worked in-house for a financial services firm and realized that as smart as attorneys are, they really aren't that smart with organizing themselves and their files.
Mm-hmm.
So I had lots of personalities to deal with. And the one attorney, he's like, did you ever grow up watching MASH? You know who Radar is? I was like, as a matter of fact, I know who that is. I'm not that young.
Yeah.
And he goes, you're our Radar. Cause I could tell what somebody was going to need ahead of time.
Mm.
And like just a quick chat with somebody who's like, oh, well, this is how we can streamline what it is that you're doing. So I did that for 5 years. And after I had my son, I was like, I'm tired of being gone 12 hours a day working downtown Chicago, dependent on the trains and not seeing my kid. So I retired and my husband got a job up here in northern Wisconsin, and we've been up here ever since. And I decided back in 2020, Nicole was doing these little small business things to get people to either start or refresh their businesses. And I thought, okay, well, I want to be a parliamentarian. Let's get this moving. Sitting and listening to her, I realized people really don't like spreadsheets or doing administrative work.
No.
And my brain loves that type of stuff. I like to figure it out. I like to clean it up. I love to read and edit everything that I possibly can. So I started gearing towards professional folks, and then I went to her workshop in 2022. And it was sitting there talking to her, talking to everybody that was there, I realized I'm marketing myself towards the wrong people. That everybody that I've been getting to know over the last few years in the different groups, they're the ones that need my help and that I can help them do better. So since that was 2022, so 3 years now, I've been backwards consulting, focusing on helping everybody out within the TSP and LFTN groups.
And you kind of refer to the people that you help as a freedom-minded misfit. small business owners, homesteaders, people like that. You're working the community that you're part of, which I really appreciate. But what is the kind of thing they call you in to help them with, to fix? What usually causes them to finally go, look, I need somebody to freaking help me?
Let's see. The first few things I've gotten have been, I have a spreadsheet and I don't know what to do with it.
Okay.
What's your spreadsheet on? Is it started out with event coordinating, and I had this giant massive spreadsheet with duplicate information over multiple tabs. And I said, well, let's get this fixed up. And we cleaned it up and now we have a manageable spreadsheet. It's kind of grown from there, just doing basic admin stuff. Like, hey, I have emails that need to go out and I just don't have the time. If I draft them, can you schedule them? Absolutely. This year, I've really gotten into doing social media for folks. I do a lot of video editing and putting videos out there, podcast promotions, just whatever folks need, because like I can do it, but now when do I make the time? How do I post it to YouTube, or what's a hashtag? How do I even decide what needs to go out there? So that's kind of been the trajectory of where I've gone.
Gotcha. So, your clients are smart, capable people, but what it sounds like is maybe a lot of them have the back end disaster that's really typical of a small business person.
Yep.
Why do you think so many people that kind of step out as solopreneurs or really small businesses, a handful of helpers, fail so miserably at all of the back end, all the admin, all of the process stuff?
Because they're focused on what they love. And what they love is not sitting at the desk doing show notes, doing client and customer emails, doing bookkeeping.
Yeah.
I almost swore off bookkeeping about 2 years ago because I had someone say, "Can you help me?" And I'm looking, I was like, this is the biggest hot mess of anything I've seen. I'm back doing it again now though, because I was like, I'm going to give it another shot. And,
yeah.
But yeah, it, when you're focused on trying to get your business started, when you are actually producing something as opposed to, like, I'm a helper. I don't actually produce any good that I can sell to somebody. I am strictly with a service.
Yep.
But if you got the homestead and you are out there making your cheese, you're raising the meat, you are doing whatever, if you're fabricating something and you're welding, I don't know. Everybody's got different stuff that they do, and I don't do it. But I can take care of the back end of things because you're focused on that. And then you come and you sit down and you go, well, I have this big stack of papers here. What is all this? Where does it go? What am I supposed to do with my statement from the bank? Where, how do I make this reconcile? I don't understand it. And then you sit there and what could take me 10 to 15 minutes is going to take you an hour, two or three.
I think there's multiple reasons for how that happens. One is the whole time they're trying to do the thing that they know needs to be done that they don't really know how to do. So that's already a problem. They're also thinking about 10 other things they need to do.
Yep.
And all of those are far more product forward or service forward. So since they're focused on that, then they're distracted from the thing that they're trying to do. I think the other reason is a lot of people start their own thing because they're absolutely sick and tired of working for somebody else. And if they never got into a place in the operations of the business where they really worked the back end, they have no idea how it works. They also have no idea how important it is until they haven't done it for a while and it starts to catch up with them. And I think there's a ton of entrepreneurs that, you know, their heart and mind are in the right place, but their knowledge of, like, somebody else always did this.
Yep.
And not only did you not do it, you didn't even see it. So since you never saw it and then the paycheck just came at the end of the week, you didn't even know it existed and you didn't know why your boss was always pissed off. He was always pissed off not because of what you did wrong, but because of all the crap that you're doing now on top of what you did then. And I think it just becomes very overwhelming for people where if you come from the professional space and more of a management position where you dealt with the front end and the back end and you dealt with calculations, you dealt with things like managing commission plans and stuff like that. You may not be great at it or like it. You may go hire someone immediately, but at least you know what it is, right? Whereas the person that just, like, you know, one day they're busting tires at Firestone, nothing wrong with that. I did it in my life, right? Nothing wrong, but that's what they were doing. They were you know, selling and busting down tires at Firestone. And then the next day they're in a business, like an agricultural business or something like that. Well, to them, the production, like, we need to make sure this many sheep come out the other. And they might even be able to run a spreadsheet that says calculates feed costs and whatever. And then that's that. But taxes, accounting, marketing, coordinating with vendors, negotiating better prices on input costs. I don't know. A back office used to do that.
Yeah.
And I never even went in there. And I think there's a lot of that in our space.
And there's a lot of people who are like, hey, I'm retired now. I'm going to start my own business. The one client that I started working for and I fired quite quickly was a retired teacher. I was like, I'm going to start a food truck. I was like, oh, really? Tell me how this is going to work. Well, I want you to build me a website. And I was like, I don't really build websites, but okay, here's a first draft. I don't like that. I'm going to go spend all this money to somebody else to buy it, to build it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. She spent all that money, ended up not even using that website. And I built her a Squarespace website because that's what she was using for her other stuff. And then she says, oh, here's my piles of receipts. Can you just organize these? like, well, there's definitely personal purchases on here. What's personal? What's not? Oh, it just all works. Like, no.
No.
But this is somebody who was an educator and was used to everything being taken care of and didn't know how to handle any of that. And I was just like, I'm going to give you a month and then we're done. I'm going to finish this month and you got to find somebody else or take care of it yourself because I can't do it.
You need separate accounts. And you need to pay for your business shit with your business account. Right? And if you're going to do it personally, you have to act like you're an employee and you have to do an expense report that outlines and shows that and attaches the receipts and copies thereof and explains the verification. And what? See, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you were a regional salesperson, you know all that because otherwise they won't pay your expenses. Right.
Absolutely.
But if you're in some sort of, you know, heavily admin system, you just dump everything on somebody paid to do it and they take care of it for you.
I think the best is, well, it could be personal, but I could maybe use it for the business. I was like, no.
No, you need to be. I'm not going to be putting my name next to that because that's probably how you're going to talk to the IRS when they ask you about it.
Well, my
if you need this for my career business, I don't care if it's baby diapers. The answer is yes. Once you've done it, there's only one answer, and it's absolutely critical to the business.
Yep.
And you better be thinking about you have to look at somebody in the face and tell them that if it goes sideways in the future, and can you defend it? That's what my CPA always tells me. She's like, Jack, I'll do whatever you want, but you need to make sure that we can justify why we're doing what we're doing, and I don't think you can justify that. And my response to her is, Mary, you're a very smart woman, and I'm gonna defer to your expertise, you know? And she's always like, well, next year, do it this way, and then we can. Okay, that's what you're paying for. Great. You know?
What's that, the tax jujitsu?
Yeah, status jujitsu, tax jujitsu. I mean, all of it, right? It's all jujitsu. You talk about rescuing people from admin avalanche and QuickBooks chaos. You got any kind of stories about that or favorite occurrences? I like the QuickBooks chaos. As an old school guy that uses nothing but Excel for my accounting, I find that amusing because I only sell like really one thing or a couple things, so I don't have to worry about QuickBooks.
Yeah, I use Excel for my own too because it's like I don't have much.
Yeah, it's simplified, it's right? You're not managing a catalog of products and, you know.
No, QuickBooks has – I've been working with a client doing bookkeeping since I think we started in April or May. And QuickBooks, I think, has had two different updates since then.
Okay.
It's like, okay, I figured out how to do this. Like, all right, let's get this going. And I log in randomly one day and I just start, the headache starts because I go, okay, QuickBooks, what did you do? You've completely changed everything that I'm looking at right now. How am I going to find these transactions? How am I supposed to categorize now? And thank you, YouTube University. Somebody had already, within like the first 12 hours of this change, made the video on how to fix it. I'm like, okay, let's fix this. Okay. And a few weeks later, QuickBooks does another update. It's like, oh my gosh, why do you keep changing this? Like, if it's working, it's working. And everybody had been talking in the different, I think it's mostly in the LFTN group, saying, you know, I'm tired of QuickBooks. I just want to do it on my computer. I don't want the online form. I don't want the online version. And I understand their pain now. Because just as you get used to it, they change it. But I've had one client and I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, it's going to be a hot mess this month. It's always a hot mess. What's going to be the problem I have to deal with this time? And whether it's just the way that QuickBooks tries to match everything because now they want to just automatically do the matching of your transactions. And you can't necessarily go in easily and reconcile that. You have to undo their match, redo however you want it to be categorized. And even then, you still have to go back and almost manually check every single transaction. Or I have somebody, and we've been working to get, which one is it? We've been trying to get something figured out with the way that they are importing from whatever system that they're using to do their sales into QuickBooks, and every month it's just another headache.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, I would just love to go back to an Excel spreadsheet. I can do it all in Excel. I can make you a pivot table. It'll look beautiful and we can get your P&L statement right from there. But QuickBooks is nice if you are working virtually with somebody because you can just give them Shopify. That's it. That's it, man. It's Shopify.
Yeah.
He knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
but it's nice because you can work virtually with somebody. You can give your CPA, your bookkeeper, anybody the access to get in there and take care of it for you. But then you're also subject to QuickBooks whims on what they want to do and when they want to change it and just drive everybody batty.
I'm still pissed off from 8 years ago when PayPal changed the layout. You're not a social media company. You're a freaking records keeping, accounting, software as a service, right?
Yep.
That's what you are. You don't need to make it look. And the accounting side is actually the exports. I can now, but at the beginning, I can't find anything. I just want to create a freaking payment button.
Yep.
Now I have to beg you to let me. And here's the secret. They ran for a while the classic view. And if you have certain bookmarks, they go back to the old shit still today, 8 years later. And I still have that shit bookmark, like creating payment buttons and all the old school stuff is still there. I don't even think they know it, but it works.
There you go.
I ain't gonna tell. But yeah, I hate change like that. But I'd rather have you deal with it than me if I'm a business owner, because then my response is, it's not my problem.
Well, yeah, you're like, hey, well, this VA, what are they charging? Is it worth me to pay her this much money for an hour worth of work to do it? Or should I spend my hour doing it when I could be dealing with clients, building something, whatever?
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's I'm going to take care of my own thing and take care of this. You do it yourself.
I mean, as a home business person, I always look at it this way. It doesn't matter if it's in my business or on my property as far as work I'm out tasking. Number one, if I do it, if I spent that time in my business, would it cost me more to have them do it or less, right? So if that person costs me $50 an hour and I can generate about $300 an hour with work, I'm not doing it because it's a bad financial decision. But let's say the numbers were much closer. But if it takes me three times as long as that person to do it, then I'm paying three times more for the work by doing it myself than paying somebody to do it.
Yep.
I think it's a very easy calculation. That's in a lot of like rich dad type books and stuff like that. And I think a lot of people that, you know, work for a living maybe take that the wrong way because it doesn't matter what you get paid for work when you're not at work, and you can't work when you're not at work because you're an employee and you work 40 hours a week. The calculus doesn't work there. But when you actually run a business, 40 hours means nothing. There is no 40 hour week, right? There's a 40 hour day, but there's not a 40 hour week. And that means the time you do actually not work becomes really valuable. So then to me, it's always a math problem. I had a guy do a belt on my tractor. It took him an hour. He charged me $65 for it. I gave him the money. I didn't even blink.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could have done it in my spare time, right? But it took me 3 hours to do it because I would have put it on backwards.
Yeah.
Because the last time I did it, I put it on backwards, and I took pictures of it to make sure I didn't put it on backwards, and I still put it on backwards. And I'm like, I don't want to do that again, and I'm going to be mad, and I'm going to be pissed off, and I'm going to cuss, and I'm going to yell at my wife, and my wife's going to yell at me, and I can just give the guy $65 and it goes away. And that mindset, if you're going to be in business, you need a business mindset that thinks that way. Anything that somebody can do that puts you ahead, and you pay them to do it, but it puts you ahead at the end of the quarter, pay them.
Absolutely.
It's very simple. It's not even, but what happens is we take employee mindset into the business. So every expenditure is bad, where a business actually needs to be managing budget for expenditure, because expenditure, if it's spent right, is leverage. And there's just so many people that don't understand, like, I'm not giving this person money because I'm part of a big jobs program called the Jack Spirko Jobs Program. I'm giving the money because they can do the work faster, quicker, and better than I can, or even if I can do it just as well, the things that I can do actually are way more profitable than these things over here. Like the fact that I do my own accounting is only because I can do it in about 5 minutes a month. That's the only reason I do it for myself. If my accounting was like it was when I ran Data Workforce, I ain't touching that shit. No, I'm not even looking at it. All I want is one piece of paper that explains for me my quarterly returns, and I better be able to understand it or you're fired. That's it. And that mindset needs to be brought into the small business to some level.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like when I go back to I'll do the food truck example again. I need to make signs and I need to advertise. We need to put it in the newspaper. And I was like, it's 2021. Nobody advertises. Who reads the local newspaper? I mean, I read my local newspaper because I like to read, we call it the sporting pages, and see who's been arrested for what.
Yeah.
But that's small town Podunk, Wisconsin. But you'll get some small businesses advertising, but everybody's on Facebook. As much as I hate Facebook, I have a presence on Facebook because I know that's where people are going to be.
Do and I? A lot of things people sell. If you're not advertising in Facebook Marketplace, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
Now, it's not for everybody, but I don't buy anything without checking like Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace to see if somebody near me is selling it used.
Absolutely.
So that means there's eyeballs on it.
Yeah. I mean, at first it's like, I don't want Facebook. I only have Facebook because working with Nicole and SRF, I needed to manage the SRF Facebook page.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to create a new Facebook. And I had just gotten rid of my Facebook from 2004 when she's like, I need you to do the Facebook page. And I said, oh, guess I'll make a new Facebook. Okay. This is just going to be for this. And now of course it's expanded.
Yeah.
But what can you do? You know, everybody, it's a necessary evil, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even need the traffic from it. And I walked away for 4 years. Cause I got tired of their censorship during COVID. But
yep.
Even I came back because there's a lot of connection there. There's a lot of traffic there, and you shouldn't ignore a traffic funnel. You know, I might get thrown in Facebook jail from time to time. I'm in X jail right now for a week because I said somebody posted a video. It was a furry convention, and the one furry's dragging the other furry dressed like a dog. No shit. Like a leash around his neck, and they probably had it set up so he was really pulling his back or something, but he was doing like throwing a tantrum while the other one drug him like a dog down the hallway. And I was like, somebody said something like, they need to be careful, they could get choked. And I said, we all hope that he, she, they, them, person, place, or thing choked. And I got X jail for a week for violent speech.
You're so violent, Jack. Stop saying it.
The person dragging the other human being down the hallway, that's totally acceptable, right? And that I only say that because, you know, hire someone to do your social media, folks, may not be a bad idea. They probably won't get you an X jail.
I haven't got
anybody.
I take that back.
Okay, you got somebody in jail.
We didn't necessarily even get in jail, but we were told by, and this is partly Nicole's fault too, because she chose the audio, but it was kind of both of us. I said, Nicole, we've really finally made it for SRF because we have been told that Sony needs to be collecting marketing money on this, and this group is collecting marketing money on it. And I keep getting more and more notifications on it, even though it was supposed to be a royalty-free audio that we used in the background of the video. But yeah, I'm going to blame it on her because, like I said, she specifically chose that audio, but it's still just, it's insane. But yeah, other than that, we've been really good. We've been very cautious about some of the posts at certain times because sometimes we'll be like, hey, this would be fun to talk about because it'll tie into SRF. We can get people to come to the event or whatnot. But we usually toe the line of not going there just so we can continue getting the reach.
So much like Dorothy and I did, y'all homeschool. We homeschooled our grandkids. They both decided to go to regular school this year. The older boy went because he wanted to play baseball, and the school's a 6A school, so it's a super competitive pipeline into college, and he's really good, so that's why he wanted. The girl went because brother went.
Yep.
Even though she's not in the same school, it doesn't matter. She wanted to do it because he did it. Now she wants to come back, and grandma told her, hey, y'all, you're committed for this year. Unless something really bad's going on, you're committed for this year. But, you know, I have about 6 years of experience with two kids here every day for homeschool now. And it is not exactly a peaceful situation. So how do you manage homeschooling two kids and both boys and then running a business and then everything else that goes with what y'all do without, like, you know, losing your mind?
I do lose my mind.
Okay, that's one of the events. Let it go.
I mean, if you talk to the TSP Discord admins and mods, they will let you know I lost my mind a long time ago. But it's one of the things I let all my clients know, my kids come first. I'm doing this to keep myself, to keep my skills up so that if my kids get older and I decide I want to do this like nonstop and bring on even more clients, I absolutely can. But my kids come first, no matter what. That's the reason I quit working in Chicago, that I came to stay home, is because I don't want to be away from my sons. But I said, I used to really love a very strict schedule. I've realized that with children, especially boys, that having, we're doing this from 7 to 7:30, we're doing this from 7:30 to 8, and so on, doesn't quite work. So I just kind of have blocks. And my kids know that first thing in the morning, that's mama's going to go sit at the computer, get some work done, check my emails, make sure I've got everything set up for the day. If I need to print up anything for them for their schoolwork, I can get it done then too. And then during the day is strictly for them, whether it's, we do classical conversations, so we have once a week we meet with our community. We do lots of play groups at the park, so they get out for a few hours to run around. But I have my set time for them. And then after dinner, I'll usually sit down again for another hour or two. This week, it's all blown to hell because we've got SRF, and whatever needs to get done, especially since I'm staying home, we're at a new location, we're not sure how well the internet's going to work. Whatever needs to get done, I can handle it from home. So I was like, Nicole, I'm on a call except for this time when I'm here with you, Jess. But again, it's just, you set your priorities, you know, and if something's my priority, that's where it's going to be. If I have deadlines for certain clients when things need to get done, and I know that's every month. I have an alarm set that comes up on my business email. Hey, this is due this week. All right, that's my focus for the week. This is due next week. That's going to be next week's focus. And it's just a matter of communicating too, because if I don't let the folks that I'm working with know this is what's happening, this is where I'm going to be, we're not going to get anything done. And they're going to be upset with me. I'm going to be upset with them. And it's just not going to work out. But yeah, like I said, I don't have it all together, and I lost my mind a long time ago. So it just, it works.
I tried to put drill your own burr holes, like surgical burr holes, into there. I had to put it in two separates because when I put it together, YouTube thought it was spam or dangerous. And I guess maybe they thought I was literally telling people to drill their own forehead. I don't know, but
I don't need a lobotomy. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, you say you just lost my mind. Well, this is, that's how you do it. I used to have a shirt that said, I had a sign that I had on my wall at my office, and it said, I have lost my mind and gone to look for it. If it comes back before I get here, please keep it for me.
That's a good one.
You know, there is a point where you just allow some venting. That's what I said, drill your own boreholes. Now, you built a business here that, you know, you have customers, you have revenue, you have income, and you've done that without, like, typical online entrepreneur stuff. You don't have funnels, you don't do webinars, you don't do any kind of fake urgency. What's actually worked for you when it comes to actually building a customer base of customers that love having you help them and you don't fire them? Because I'm very happy to hear you say you fired one of your customers, especially one of your first customers. It's one of what is one of the most important things you can teach me? Somebody asked me about running a business is know when to fire a customer.
Yeah.
If you've never fired a customer and you've been in business more than a minute, you probably are doing it wrong. Like, you need to get rid of some, but you also need some, right? Like, there is a limit. Like, depending, when I had, for instance, like a company like Sealand Services as a customer, it would have been really hard to fire a customer that was putting, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars into the company coffers every month. You might keep that customer. But small businesses, it can just be destroyed by keeping people that are toxic, because you're thin. But you gotta get enough bodies in the door. How do you build a customer base without the typical way that it's done?
This goes back to your MeWe Mondays that you started.
Okay.
2019, I think, is when it was.
Yeah.
And just getting to know the TSP crew, the LFTN crew, showing up consistently in the chats, get to know everybody. And then once I pivoted to Backwoods, you know, that's where it was, hey, I've met these people in person. I know what they can do. Nicole reached out. Hey, I think I was like 38 weeks pregnant. She goes, hey, I've got a webinar. Do you think you could do some back end for me? I was like, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing, but okay, we can figure this out, you know? And, like, it kind of grew from there. It went from there, and then I started doing the SRF stuff. And then Matt Thursley was like, hey, can you make a PowerPoint presentation? I was like, yeah, give me $150. I'll make your presentation. Sure. Like, I can have it done in 5-10 minutes, whereas I know most folks it would take several hours. I'm like, okay. But again, it was just that consistency, like checking in every day. How's everybody doing? What's up? And just sharing, yep, this is what I like to do. This is my background. And people realize that I'm a real person. I know some folks said they were going to tune in today because they were like, we thought you were like a bot or an AI or something. I was like, nope, real. But it's building those relationships. And then again, yeah, Matt, we'll chat about webinars later.
Okay.
Just send me an email about that one.
would you say, and there's a thing going on here between me and David Siegel with a friend's reference on the word you use, pivot. That word never passes me, him, or my wife without a little chuckle from that one scene. But what I want to ask you, though, really is what you just described, is that what you typically do for a client, as in they need a thing done and you charge a fee for a thing, mm-hmm. or do you have them on more of like a retainer, like up to 3 hours of work a month, or is it all of the above?
It's all of the above. I'm actually getting ready to start to roll out a new retainer style. Okay. Right now it's just the majority of folks that I do are like a one-off. I have a lot of one-offs where, hey, mm-hmm. I need some graphics made for events I've got. Here's an idea. Okay, I can make that for you. I do the basic virtual assistant stuff right now where here's my hourly fee. I'll give you a detailed invoice at the end of the month, weekly, whatever you want, and then you get that. For social media, it's a set fee depending on what I'm doing for you. And some of those prices, as I've been working this year, it's like, okay, we got to make some changes too. And that's another part of it as well, is charging yourself or charging your clients what you're worth. Because
yeah,
I realized, yeah, I'm not making enough money for this, some of the things I'm doing. And it's been an eye opener to realize it too.
Matt is saying, I totally won on that deal of the PowerPoints for me. She did a fantastic job.
I actually just finished up one for him this morning. but yeah, no. I mean, it's just been, it was through the community too. Like I said, people know that I'm real. You interact. They know that you have a life, that you're actually going through the same. We may not all have the same frustrations, the same day-to-day lives, but we all can commiserate together and we support each other too. And that's one of the things as well, is I've always been very supportive of everybody, no matter what their business is. If you're working 9 to 5 in the city, if you're doing your own thing, that's awesome. You know, like, can I support you in some way?
Yeah.
So it's not just some random internet person popping like, hey, I've got this business, you know, you should hire me to do X, Y, or Z. No, like, I'm here and people know that I can do what I do.
So like, I think that what you're saying is basically old school meeting people face to face and becoming part of a network and then developing yep. business out of that network works. And what it makes me think of is like a place people go to do that, and it generally doesn't work out really well. It's like a local chamber of commerce often.
Yeah.
And it's because everybody's there for the same reason. Everybody's focused on that. Where like back when I had a job and I ran a company and all that, I used to be part of some fairly large chambers of commerce here in like our tech nest area, like Richardson and Plano. And like I was on like their committees, like their technology development committee for the Richardson Chamber. When you're on those, then you're getting together and you're putting together initiatives, you're running functions and things like mm-hmm. that. And that doesn't really do anything for you directly. But what ends up happening is you're actually working with people instead of saying, hey, this is me and this is what I do. Can I help you? Right. And they're doing the same thing. You go to a chamber of commerce meeting, I've always joked, like you kick a table and like 10 financial advisors come out from under it. You kick the other table and like 16 real estate agents come out yep. from it. But when you get involved with a community, whether it's a business focus or not, turns out everybody has something that's some sort of business in their life, their job, yeah. their actual business, their contracts, whatever. And when you get to know people, then people want to do business. I know this is crazy, with people that they know and trust.
It's shocking. And it took me several years to figure out just where I fit in with these communities, because yeah. The only plants I can grow is comfrey and basil. Everything else dies. I'm not, the only things I've been successfully growing besides those is my children. So it's like, I'm not growing anything. If I'm going to be buying any food or anything like that, I'm going to support small businesses as opposed to the bigger ones. But again, it just goes back to you got to help each other out. And I had no clue where I fit in. Because, like, I don't do any of this stuff. I don't know how to can. I don't know how to do X, Y, or Z. But I started seeing that trend. Once Nicole mentioned she hated spreadsheets, she hated doing record bookkeeping. I was like, ooh, I bet there's other people out there. And I started noticing in the chats where people were like, oh, I have to do this, and I don't want to do it because it's going to take me forever. Yeah. I'm going to do it at the end of the day. And the wheel started turning. I realized this is where I can fit in. This is how I can help this group of people out. And it's been great to see, like, as I've worked with folks, just the conversations we have, you can tell that, like, there's a weight lifted because they don't have to deal with the bookkeeping. They don't have to make sure that every social media post is going out. They know that this video goes out on Sundays, and then I'm going to have some shorts coming out through the week. Or, hey, my posts are going to be done every Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, whatever it is. One less thing they have to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the things that you should out-task, you kind of think of this way. Do you hate it? And it's necessary. You should you should at least put it on the list of potential out-task work. Is it something that's important, but you rarely have to do it, and it takes some level of skill to do? You really want to out-task that. For me, that's graphics work. Like, if it's very simple graphics work, like the graphics for the thumbnail on my show, I'll do it. And I also learn to do it because I do it 3 times to 4 times a week. So that's worth learning, right?
Yep.
When it comes to building mastheads or pamphlets or shit like that, I'm going to have a need for that 2 or 3 times a year. I'm not taking the time to develop the skill, because not only it will take me way more time and way more cost and time than I can pay somebody to do it for me, I'll never be that good at it because I'll never develop, like, the mental muscle memory because I don't do it enough. So there's no reason for me to invest and then spend 4 hours before I'm happy with it when I could have just said, hey, I need this, and gave somebody $100.
Yeah, and they'll send you 2 or 3 items, like, hey, which of these do you like the best? Okay, I'll
fix it. Like, that's my entire response to that, right? B's good, except move this thing over here.
Yeah.
Here it is. Is that good? Yep. Okay, done.
And it, like I know my biggest thing is people are like, well, why should I pay you $150 for that when I can pay somebody $15 on Fiverr? Well, you know me, and you know that if you reach out to me that I'm going to get back to you quite quickly, because everybody knows how to get hold me on Telegram, because that's the easiest way for me to know. I charge you more money, but that's because I also know what I'm worth, and that, you know, that $150, do you want to spend 6 hours working on that PowerPoint, or do you want to give it to me and I'll have it done within the hour, like, final version, all your animations, transitions, whatnot done? Makes sense to me.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think some of maybe the easiest things are that people can delegate that make a real difference, you know? The kind of things that we've kind of been hitting on you should probably just get somebody else to do this for you.
I mean, like I said, the first things that folks come to me before, I've got a podcast or I've got a website, I need stuff to get out, I don't know how to do it, I don't know when to make the time. I can do that. There's other folks out there that can do it too. Why hire me? You know me. Matt was talking about PowerPoint presentations. Nobody wants to make a PowerPoint presentation. I've always loved them, starting back in, like, was it 98, 99, and you had WordArt. And yeah. I was really upset when I couldn't get the WordArt anymore, because that was one of my favorite things, was to pick my WordArt and then customize it with the color so that it would look really good. But, like I said, if it's something that you absolutely hate to do, but it's necessary and it's admin-y, that's what I'm there for. people that don't like that type of structure and the routine, those are the types of things that you need a structure and routine for. So get it to somebody who can do it.
Yeah, and it's also like one of the things I think entrepreneurs need to do is, like, I don't want somebody else building my PowerPoint deck for an important presentation. Yeah. I do want them making it look pretty. So this is what I mean by that. I'll make the deck, put the bullet points I want on it, say, here's the kind of artwork I want you to work with. Here's the deck. Do it.
Yeah.
Don't change my words and make them all fit.
Oh, absolutely.
Because what am I going to spend the most amount of my time on? Trying to make the bullet points not overlap the image that's curved on there. Like, that's the kind of, I don't want to do that. I hate that. That's awful. But I don't want somebody developing my messaging that I'm going to present with, right? So, like, there are things that we refuse to let go of because we know we can do it better. But it doesn't mean you can do all of it better. And then sometimes better is not really what you're looking for. You're looking for really good. So I can probably detail my Challenger better than the detail shop. I'm not doing that.
No.
They might miss one spec that I'll go get off for 5 minutes before I drop to the driveway anyway and it gets back on it. But there's certain things that, like, okay, they can do it so good that no one knows the difference. I'm going to let them do it. Or I need to do this piece, but then they can polish it type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, when I'm doing people's presentations, if they don't have a set, like, PowerPoint template that they've used in the past, it's like, okay, what are your favorite, like, give me your branding stuff so I know what your colors and fonts and whatnot's going to be. Who's the audience? Because if it's more professional, I'll go professional. If it's, like, for example, Matt, if he's going to be presenting at your workshop, okay, well, now I know the audience, so what it's going to be looking like. If you have that already, go ahead, set it to me, and, yeah, I'll make it look good. I do have a tip for anybody who wants to do their own presentations. PowerPoint now has a little developer tool that will, like, pop up on the side, and it'll say, oh, here are some other options based on whatever template design you're using for how the slide could look. I cheat and use that because it's one of those things. Why should I recreate the wheel when I've already got this over here? And if I scroll through, hey, that actually looks really good, better than something I can do myself, I'm going to pop it on in and here you go, Matt. Here's your PowerPoint.
You also know, though, like, of the people I want to kick in the nutsack over at Microsoft, the people that work on PowerPoint are in the top of the list because they're the ones to keep changing shit that worked really good, and you learned how to use it that way, and then you upgrade, and you're like, where's my shit?
Yeah.
You know? Like, we need a back button on these things. We can go to previous version and never do this again.
I'm sure this is where all the Linux people are going to be like, switch to Linux or use LibreOffice and all that.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. I need to be able to send it to somebody and it needs to work for them. You can convert it and yeah, everything fucking breaks. I'm not doing it.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
Not worth it.
No. But yeah, I do hate when these platforms, software programs, call them whatever you want, change. And I think as we move to more of a software as a service model, that's going to become more the case. Like, we're basically using a software as a service product right now to broadcast a show in StreamYard. Well, last week I had 2 days of misery from them because they rolled out an upgrade that apparently affected me, but not Nicole, for instance. I don't know why, but I had 3 days where when I got done, like we're doing right now, I went to download the audio to make the audio side of the podcast. It just wasn't there. It just wasn't there because they changed something without testing it before they changed it.
You were their beta tester.
Yeah, I was great. I will give them credit since I've kind of badmouthed them for the last few days. I'm still bitter because of the way they handled the support, which was terrible, which was like a chat bot responding to my support requests, even though it was by email. They gave me $100 off, refunded, and $100 credit on my next renewal. So I'll at least they cared. But
yeah.
Yeah, when they change stuff, and that's the other thing, though, if you have someone like Letty to take care of stuff for you, this is their problem, right? You got to figure it out. They're telling me how to download it from YouTube. I'm like, well, I know how to download it from YouTube tomorrow when it's done encoding, and I need to get this out today. And it's my point in all that is that when you have help, there are often solutions that you, when you're mad, angry, stressed, you won't think of, and you even knew them. Like, eventually what I was able to do was in two parts download that episode off Twitch. So thankfully I still put it on Twitch for like the two people that watch it there. Because that was the only way I could get that one particular episode that didn't encode for like 48 hours.
Oh gosh.
Right. So like, but somebody somewhere would have known more than one way to fix the problem I had at that point. And when you have additional leverage, and that's what you should think of as anybody you hire as an additional leverage. like a different breaker bar in the toolbox that you can pull out and lever the door open with. And that is something that I think it just makes you more confident as a business person too, when you have people you can reach out to. Like, my life is so much better since I upgraded my tech support from the old Steve and Bill to the Tom. The Tom is better than the Steve and Bill times five, right? We couldn't even think about doing before because we have the Tom instead of the Bill and the Steve, right? And
I get to be a thorn in his side all the time. Oh, okay. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. Give him hell. He can take it.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, I mean, like, the more help you have, the more you can do. And the problem is we have people going into business trying to save money instead of going into business and trying to make money.
Yep.
And you have to be thinking about making money. And the old saying, it takes money to make money, it can be an excuse to piss money away. It can also be the damn truth. There's, you know, no one works for free. And if you need something done, you got to pay for it. And getting that mindset right helps you make good decisions about who to hire. You've also been using a lot of AI tools like ChatGPT in your work.
Yep.
What are some ways regular folks, not tech geeks, can use AI to save time or streamline what they're already doing?
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying when ChatGPT first came out, I was like that Luddite who wanted to like throw my shoe at it and be like, nope, I don't trust it, never going to use it. It's going to be like the worst thing ever. I started using it about a year ago. Just slowly, because Nicole said, hey, I did this on ChatGPT. And I said, oh, I guess I'll try it out to make bios for speakers. And then earlier this year, I started doing a little bit more, just testing out, okay, well, what can I do? Hey, I've got this person that I'm making videos for, and they want to have blog posts now. Mm-hmm. Well, let me see if it can clean up the transcript from their video into a blog post. Well, okay, it did a decent job, you know, and I started taking... Nathan Frazier with Cultish Content, he was doing all sorts of, this is how you use ChatGPT, AI, and whatnot. So I got some skills from him on different things. And then when I saw that your class was coming up, I said, okay, I'm just going to buckle down and do this. I got into it because I'm thinking I can use it to help my clients. It's actually helped me more than it's helped my clients. But my husband, he started using GPT now too. And he goes, well, I think I shared it in the class, the first class, that we were having an issue with potty training our 3-year-old.
Mm.
And my husband, like, ChatGPT, how do you potty train a 3-year-old? And it gave me everything that I had been doing.
Okay.
So I said, well, it works, but now that ChatGPT told it to you, you're
more do likely. It.
Yeah. But I've also used it too to say, okay, I need some resources or some ideas. This is what my kid's learning about right now, and they're excited about it. How can I help them? He's 7, and he wants to learn more about the First World War. ChatGPT will give me some ideas. Trust but verify everything on there, and I've said this in the new class too. They're going to give you all sorts of links. Half those links don't work, or it's just completely made up. So you just got to double-check everything. But I've seen folks use it for coming up. They don't do the recipes, but they'll come up with meal ideas that you can, if you're super busy and you're going on a trip, hey, this is where I'm going. What are some things that I can do out there? It will give you some ideas. Like, we're going to Dollywood at the end of the month. What's historical around Gatlinburg and whatnot, so I can not just spend the entire time doing roller coasters with my boys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, there's so much out there, but unless you actually go in there and start trying it out, and again, trust but verify everything. Or if Jack starts to sell his custom GPT to check resources, that's another way you can use it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever sell them. I might make them exclusively available to MSB or something like that, because I don't want to sell that. That's not what I want my business model to be. But it is a incredibly useful tool to build custom GPTs. And mm-hmm. You can take it to a very advanced level, but you can also do some very basic things. Like, I have one just for writing, which when you read the blog post that goes out for today with your episode, it totally wrote that. Now, it wrote it based on your synopsis of what the show was supposed to be about, your information you gave me as far as your talking points, my input, plus your own provided bio in my voice and style based on my direction. And that is a hugely different thing than write me 250 words about Letty Lou. Here's a web link that goes up her profile. Yeah. It's totally different when you do it that way. And it's really about understanding the inputs. And one of the reasons I want to talk to you about it is I think there's people out right now, since it is new, and 3 years old is not new in our world, but to a lot of people, it's very new. If you hire a virtual assistant and they use ChatGPT, they think, well, why don't I use it myself? And I'm like, well, you know what that's like? That's like hiring someone to do the tile in your kitchen. And then they take the tile outside and they cut it with a wet tile saw. And you say, why don't I just buy a wet tile saw and do it myself? Well, because that dude uses that saw every day and he knows how to use it to make the tile in your kitchen look good. Doesn't mean you do just because you have the same tool. And I think one of the places where people overestimate it or also hate it is they don't understand it's just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool. Like just because you get PowerPoint doesn't mean you're going to make your own decks. Mm-hmm. Just because you get Photoshop doesn't mean you're going to be worth a damn as a graphics designer. I've been playing with this stuff for over 3 years now, and I still have bad days with it where I cuss it out. You've seen it. I share transcripts in the classes like, you stupid effing piece of shit. Like,
oh, I was cursing it yesterday because I was trying to – we decided we're going to memeify the entire staff for Self Alliance Festival this year.
Yeah.
And granted, part of it was that I was just using the exact same chat to keep creating each new person. And I know better. I should have used, hey, I want to create Letty Lou. Let's make a Letty Lou chat. Let's make a Glenn chat, a Kiri. I kept it, and it was just taking forever, and it wasn't listening. It wasn't paying attention. I'm like, you are stupid. Why are you not doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I never would have yelled at it before if I hadn't seen you do it. But I was like, I'm like, okay, you are being so dumb right now. You're about to get fired. Why did you not follow my instructions?
Yeah.
And then GPT's like, oh, I'm sorry, but I guess I should have done this. Well, yes, damn right you should have, because if you don't, you're not. But again, that's where I think you had said treat it like an employee.
It has to be treated like an employee, like a whipping boy employee.
Yeah.
Like, and also by doing stuff like it, you'll figure things out. Like, okay, this chat's never going to work, but I'm going to lose all the context. So you roll that into a document, you upload it into a new chat for context, you start over. Because it gets into what I call a hell loop.
Yes.
And if you've ever watched some of the sci-fi stuff that deal with the afterlife and hell, like the series Lucifer, the hell loop is where it's just the worst day of your life and when you're in hell over and over again. That's the hell loop. And that's what will happen. Like, it'll keep saying, like, oh, I'll fix that. And it just gives you the same thing again. If that happens more than twice, just you need the new, like, it's locked into some sort of algorithmic hell loop, and you have to break out of it. And sometimes you can say, I haven't got it. Somehow I'll say, like, you're in a hell loop, aren't you? Yes, I am. Well, how do we get you out of that? And sometimes it'll tell you and it works. And sometimes you're like, okay, screw it. Like, and what I'll usually do when I do the document trick is I'll upload that document and say, I want you to have this for context, but before we go into it at all, tell me what went wrong.
Oh, I never thought about that. That's a good one.
Is it? Yeah, I do that. I do things like when I give it a document, and I'll say, well, read it. It says I've read it. You know, I've let the class have this one. Like, tell me the first sentence of the third to the last paragraph in the document, and it'll make you didn't read it. You have to treat it like when you tell your kids to go brush their teeth, and I brush my teeth.
Oh, really? Bring me the toothbrush.
Yeah, where's the toothbrush?
Right? Let me smell your breath so I can smell it.
Did you brush them with toothpaste?
Yep.
And the toothbrush. Using the water from the sink. Did you do all that? Uh-huh. Okay, well, let me go check your toothbrush. And then they run to the bathroom ahead of you. Like, you have to treat it like a little kid and an employee at the same time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting just to see the more that – and it's one of those things, too. The more that you use it, the better you get at using it.
Yeah.
And the faster you're able to identify, oh, this is what's going wrong right now. Let me pivot again. We're gonna take care of it, you know. And this goes back to the question, like, if you are saying, well, why should I hire Letty to do it when I know she just needs ChatGPT? Well, because I'm using it multiple times a day. Like the past 2 weeks, I've been using ChatGPT for 5-6 hours a day between all my clients' work and everything that I'm working on, and just stuff for myself too, because I like to have fun. Like ChatGPT helped me build out my backwoods business rescue kit, and I'll share the link with you. I forgot to put it on my initial email. because I was still building it. But like it helped me come up with this Backwoods Business Rescue Kit, and that's mini guides. Like every week I have a blog post come out, and in the middle of the week there's a matching mini guide to whatever that blog post is about. I had one about how to clean up your spreadsheet. How do I decide which tool I should use? There's one that I talked to a client to a few weeks ago about, and it was just how do I do a weekly reset? Like my weekly reset is this is how I get ready for the next week and I know what to do. ChatGPT helped me come up with that. I had the ideas and I said, okay, you have my voice. I've given you lots of information over the past several months, and I'll even tell it, you can go into this project and use these specific chats as reference points. I want you to help me build this out. It's like, okay, here we go. So it sounds like it's me. It looks like it's something I would do. And then, of course, I come back in and I review it. And because ChatGPT will not follow my freaking MDASH instructions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's.
So at this point, I was like, you know what? There's going to be MDASHs.
Yeah.
I accept this. I understand it. I'm just going to go in and review it and say, hey, this part, this right here, it should be a semicolon. This should be a semicolon. This one's going to be a semicolon. Yeah. I'm going to put a period there or an ellipsis mark. And then that way, too, if ChatGPT still disobeys my instructions and uses no fluff or no nonsense or some other stupid ChatGPT language.
Yeah.
Okay. I always search for that, too. All right. Let's pull it out and fix it. Occasionally, I'll leave it in because I find it funny. Yeah. And I just want to see if someone's going to notice it. But for the most part, it's getting a lot better now too to say, hey,
no fluff. It's not this, it's that. And you're like, your intern's GPT account wrote that for you, didn't it, Mr.
Oh my gosh. There are so many lists that I've seen out there of this is how you identify if someone's using ChatGPT. But it's the same for Opus. I started using Opus with Nicole, and still to this day, I'm like, oh, so and so over here is using Opus to make all their shorts from their shows and whatnot, because I know that font. I know the way that they've pulled out the video.
Yeah.
It's an Opus clip.
Yeah. Yeah. So whether GPT is included in this or not, let's say someone is listening right now and they're like up to their eyeballs. Their inbox is overflowing. Their taxes for the quarter are half done. They done what you and I did, and they're homeschooling. Kids want snacks. And they're like, I don't know what to do. What's your start here advice when it just feels like this is just too much crap to deal with?
Make a list of all the things that you have to do and then sort them. Like what needs to get, you're actually going to like physically write it out because that will help get it done. And you're going to say, okay, these are the most important things. And so on. And then you're going to star, which ones do I absolutely hate? And then you're going to write down all the ones that you absolutely hate that are the most important to do and say, okay, is this something I absolutely positively want to do and have to do, or can I hire it out to somebody? Because that's the way that you're going to figure out what, like where to go. Like, cause I do a lot of stuff. I do not build websites.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Like that is my hard no. If you want a website, I can point you in like six different directions to go, but I'm not building that website for you. If you've got it made and you need changes to be done to it, sure, I can take care of that, but I'm not building it. But it's so if I have a new website that somebody's like, oh, I have a website that I need to get made for this new thing that's getting done. Here's a X, Y, or Z person that you can reach out to.
Yeah.
Because I will absolutely outsource that.
Yeah, and there's plenty of people that do it, and they like doing it. I remember way back in the early 2000s, and we had design customers, and you would deal with things like, that's not the same color, a shade of blue we agreed upon, you know, do you understand how monitors work? Like, I'm not cut out to deal with you here, because, like, it's going to look, well, I want it to look the same on every monitor. Well, you need to talk to the monitor people about that, because we don't control, like, even if we make it look the way you want it to look, that doesn't mean it's going to look the exact same shade of Tiffany blue or whatever the hell it is you want. And you're a man, and why are you using words like sandalwood? It's brown. It's tan. You know, to me, what I'm getting at there with the site building has a lot of nitpicky shit in it.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you for not wanting to.
I don't have the patience for that.
No.
Like, no, I don't have the patience And there are times where I've been dealing with some website stuff and I'll just screenshot what I'm working on and I go to TSP Discord. And I was like, guys, I am absolutely beautiful today. Talk to me like a 5-year-old and tell me how to fix this. Because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not, and again, it's one of the things you can't be afraid to ask for help. So many people still, like you've talked about it, Nicole's talked about it, pretty much everybody I know has talked about it. They think that to be like, if you listen to survival podcasts, you need to be a complete prepper and you need to be 100% self-sufficient, take care of everything on your own. No, you can't do it all.
No.
And
no.
you need to grow up and put on your big girl or big boy panties and say, I need help. I can't do this. Who can help me? Doesn't matter what it is.
I think where you started too with the list of priorities is really important. It would be better if today you only got one thing done than actually do half of three things.
Absolutely.
Unless something's going to die. Like, because my list is, will something die? Okay. Then that goes to the top of the list. And then it is, will I go to jail or get fined or something like that? Because it's a tax issue. That's next. And then it is this what I call this critical to the operation of the business or the homestead? That goes next. And then is this like something I want to get done in the next few weeks and then in the next couple of months? And it'd be nice to have. That's mm-hmm. But, and then in the hierarchy of that, which you said, which is actually one of the laws in the new book I'm working on right now, which is out of each of those categories, assuming they're all relatively equal, the one I hate the most just goes to the top of the list. And then I'll do that one thing. And that's hard for me because I like to look at shiny things. Like, it's a fun thing for me. Oh, look at that over there, you know. But I'll do that one thing till it's done.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you look back at the end of a week where you live that way for a week, you're like, holy shit, I got a lot done today. Another mental experiment that I found to be really useful is pretend you're going on vacation tomorrow for 2 weeks. Just like tomorrow, no matter what, I already made a deal with the spouse and I'm going to, at 6 o'clock in the morning, we're going to get up, get an Uber, go to the airport. We're going to be gone. And there ain't shit I can do about it for the next 2 weeks. You will do what I just said instantly in your head. Cancel that meeting, defer that, get rid of that, do this, get that done. You'll act that way. And if you live one day a week like that, again, you'll be surprised at what your weeks look like for progression until you have like this week and last week. Like,
and it's the deferred stuff that you're going to say, this is what I can get rid of. This is who. Yep. This is what I can give to somebody.
Yep.
It's not, you're just not going to do it. It needs to get done, but you don't specifically have to take care of it.
Correct. Correct. I think it's a good idea too to start realizing like everything comes at you, like requests. Will you come speak here? Will you do this? Will you do that? There's only three answers: do, defer, decline.
Yep.
And what we tend to do is defer a lot of things we should just decline. You already know you have to say no, that you can't go to Las Vegas in that week because you're going to be somewhere the week before and your wife's going to divorce you if you do two in a row. So you already know that, but you say, let me check. Don't do that. Decline.
Say no.
Yeah.
People have a hard time saying no.
Yep. Either do it, decline it, and only defer the things that you really should defer. Like, I'd actually really like to say yes to this. I'm not sure I can. And then that becomes a very like a class A task to determine whether or not you're going to be able to say yes or no to the thing. And as soon as you know you're going to say no, decline it. And then all of a sudden your list gets shorter because a whole lot of shit you were never going to do anywhere is not on your list anymore. Or like you said, the alternative to decline is instead of defer as in I'll do it later, defer it to someone else.
Yes, it's called delegation. It's right. Delegation, but you also can't delegate every single thing and consider yourself like done.
Yeah. 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 That's going to be the fourth one. Delegate.
And my husband comes into work.
Delegate.
My husband comes home from work and he's like, what is it with management that think that they're managers because they can delegate work? I said, because that's how it's been. Like that's what people think is that, oh, they're a good delegator. They can manage. No.
Yeah. The thing that a lot of people don't understand, though, is that manager that you feel like is delegating everything to you, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're actually doing until you get promoted in that position and go, that's why Bob was an asshole all the time. This sucks.
Yep.
Like, there's the old saying, I think, what is it, something like, we all get promoted into our highest level of incompetence or our lowest level of incompetence. Like, they promote you until you suck at your job and then they leave you there.
Pretty much.
Well, you should just like, you know what? This didn't work out, Bob. Let's just put you back where you were happy. You know?
Not going to happen.
No. No. What do you refuse to offer even if someone begs you for it? Like you said, you don't do websites.
Yeah,
that's like your don't do Windows thing. Like, I don't do Windows, you know?
Yeah, websites are an absolute hard stop. No. I mean, yeah, that's really like the one thing. And I don't do tax prep because I'm not a CPA. I don't have that background.
You don't do what?
Tax prep. Like, I'll do your bookkeeping.
Bookkeeping. Okay, yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Because a lot of people are like, oh, you do bookkeeping. Can you help me with my taxes? Nope.
No.
I can refer you to a couple different people that could help you with that, but that's not me. And it's not something I want anything to do with. I would rather, like, stick my finger in electrical sockets than deal with that stuff.
Yeah, there's bookkeeping, there's accounting, and they're actually different. And, like, the bookkeeper gives you the stuff you take to your accountant.
Yeah, and 99.9% of people don't understand the difference. I was like, oh, well, you did this for me, so you can do it. Nope. Nope.
I had accounting in high school. They actually used to teach really useful skills in high school. It's crazy.
I know.
And I remember accounting one. We took that. We got through it. And then I had the same teacher for accounting two. And he said, well, this year you're going to learn accounting. I didn't teach you accounting last year. I taught you bookkeeping. He's like, we just call it accounting because that's what the state says it is. He's like, it's not the same. He's like, and by the end of this year, you'll understand what I said. And then we had an accounting three, which was like an AP course where you can actually get college credit for it. And it was a different teacher, but he said, and everything you think you learned up to now isn't really accounting. Now we're going to learn accounting. And the way you'll know you've learned accounting is even though you shouldn't do it, by the end of this course, you'll know how to extort money from your own company. He said, you know how to do that. You don't know accounting. You know bookkeeping.
Yeah,
it's a different world. I'm sure you'd get fired for that in 2025, but in 1988, people thought that was cool. I guess
it's a different world.
Yeah, but I think it's important for people actually to find what they don't want to do in their business, and then either if it's a critical component, find someone like yourself or someone else in the right wheelhouse to outtask it to, or don't do things if it's not critical to the business. And you don't want to do it, then we don't do that. But what if I, give you a bunch of money to do it?
No.
Get the number high enough and I'll say I'm doing it and I'll send you the invoice, but someone else is doing it. That'll work right there. Oh, okay. Let me introduce you to my employee, Tom. Yeah, sure, we do web development.
That's all that he does.
Right? Like, it's just company to company billing on the other side of it. But you really, this is a thing I've seen a lot of companies trying to please a customer by saying yes to things that they don't know how to do and they don't want to do. It's one thing to say yes and then fumble through the job and not make any money on it to determine if it's something you want to build the skill set in and do. But once you know you don't want to do it, say no.
I was getting ready to say no to doing social media. Like I told Nicole, I don't have that creative mind where someone's like, oh, I need to get this stuff done or I need some posts done. And my brain is very analytical. It doesn't get abstract. So I would be sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I have all these posts I need to do for SRF. I don't know what to do. But thanks to ChatGPT, now it can give me content plans and content ideas. And sometimes it will actually decently create the graphic that I want. But I was getting ready to say no more. Like, I will post your videos for you, but I'm not making images. But this year has taught me that, okay, I actually can because I have a resource now to help me come up with that. Because if I just had to be creative on my own, it wasn't going to happen.
And, AI is really good at some of that. Like, if you have a blog post and you want a hooky blurb to use in social media for it, it's actually really good at that. Now, it's not always good.
No.
But you can move really quick with that. That's what I've learned. And
I ask it to give me 3 to 5 options.
Yep.
So Matt Sersley's in here. So I do his videos for him each week. And once I started taking your class, I realized I could actually make graphics for his thumbnails instead of just the basic generic ones. And I'd be like, okay, here's the transcript. You've made this, you've cleaned it up into a blog post for me. Now I want you to give me 3 to 5 title ideas, 3 to 5 graphic ideas, and 3 to 5 like hooks that I can use for it. They'll come up with that. I said, oh. And since then, I now have an easy way that I can just kind of play back and forth and figure out which one's going to work best with the video and everything. And we're actually getting more views on his videos now since I've changed the thumbnails from the basic one that had his picture on there.
Yeah.
To these new ones that actually have something to do with the topic.
Gotcha.
But again, if it was just me coming up with that, I would still be doing the picture, his picture with whatever the title is that I somehow came up with.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. So you're leveraging it as a thought partner.
Absolutely.
Instead of using it as a genie, it has to have direction and you have to abuse it. Yeah. If somebody's thinking about hiring someone like you to help them in their business, what are maybe some of the things they should do to be ready before reaching out? I mean, one of the things I've seen is a lot of times people hire an employee and they're not ready for it. They don't have enough work that's regular to support the employees. You know, I'm going to do a part-time employee and they just come up with their head 20 hours a week. But you have to train a person. And if you don't have enough repetitive work, you don't have 20 hours a week work. And the benefit of hiring somebody that's more like an out task, like a contract model is you only give them the work that you have. But I still would think there's some things that you should be prepared for, especially like an initial consultation and things like that.
Yeah. So that's where you need to come up with that list. Like, what are the things that I do in my business that I hate? First of all, look at my website and see what I do. So we're not wasting our time, but
yeah.
What do you hate? And then that's where you're going to go through and you're going to rank everything. Like what do I hate to do? What is absolutely necessary? What's not that necessary? What could help my business in the future if I do it now? And I can't remember the name of it. I actually have a mini guide that kind of walks you through this process, but yeah, for the life of me, can't remember the title of it right now, but whatever. I posted about it like 6 weeks ago or something. Okay. I had this whole, thanks to your class, I came up with a 12-week content plan to roll everything out. So it was included in there somewhere. But figure it out. You can't come into a consulting call and say, I need help, but I'm not sure where, because you're just going to waste everybody's time.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to part with that work. You have to be willing to say, I trust you enough that I'm going to give you this XYZ thing to take care of for my business that's going to make me money, even though I'm paying you to do it. Because if that level of trust isn't there, it's not going to go anywhere.
And what's worse than paying someone to do something for you is paying someone to do something for you, not trusting them and not using the work they do for you and doing the work yourself after you paid for it.
Yes.
That's worse than just doing it yourself in the first place because it costs you money and time. So you have to give people a shot. You have to actually let them like take the shot.
Yeah. And then I guess the third thing would be figure out the process for that if you have one. And if it's something you've been doing, you should have a process.
Mm-hmm.
That's another mini guide I have, how to create an SOP, because lots of people have never heard the phrase standard operating procedures before. I loved writing SOPs back when I was working in the corporate world, because when I came into the legal department, they had two or three. And when I left, I think we were at 18.
Okay.
So, but again, if you're going to hire somebody and you want them to be doing the work to the standard that you've been doing, the standard that your clients expect from your company, that outsourced person needs to be doing the same work at that level. And if you can't recreate it, if you can't say, here's my document on how to do this, they're not going to be able to handle it. And it's not going to be what you want.
Yeah. It's tedious work, but documenting how you do what you do and the order you do it in and how you quality assure it and all is really important, because you can never scale.
No.
Without that. It's impossible. You can't download your brain into the other person's brain. And that's probably a good thing, because people would be jumping off roofs if I was downloading the darkness of my brain into their head. But what you can do is document how you do what you do. And that won't necessarily make somebody a rock star on day one, but at least they know what you expect. And if they don't do it the way you told them to, you can say on page 4, it says to do this, you didn't do this, why?
Yep.
Right. And if you don't have that, you really can't do that, because you'll say, well, I told you that. You don't know if you told them that. The problem is when you get really good and you develop that mental muscle memory, is you think you explained it. You didn't explain it. And the other problem is a person's like, looking at a bird out the window and doesn't want to tell you they didn't hear that last two sentences. So they, when it's written down,
there's no excuse.
If you're going to rely on oral instruction, I suggest video.
Right? Yeah.
You know, but the thing about when you write it down, it can be printed out. It can be used as a book, but it can also be a document, which means when they're looking for how to do something, they can run a search and kind of clue in right into that area and be like, okay, I'm trying to upload a video for this person on this particular platform, video. And it'll only be in that document so many times, and that will speed up their ability to actually do what you want them to do, because people don't learn things the first time we tell them how to do it.
No.
Right? They really don't. And it doesn't matter if they're smart or not. I mean, it might take them longer if they're not smart, but even really smart people, it takes a certain amount of repetition before you become really good at a task. And I think another problem we have as entrepreneurs is we do everything for ourselves. We do it for so long, we get ridiculously fast at it. And then we expect that performance from somebody we hire has done it twice.
Yeah.
You know, I the things I do in the back end of WordPress while I'm doing three other things, like, I don't think most people can do that and probably shouldn't either. But I definitely don't expect somebody to walk in the door able to do it. If they could, they probably wouldn't be working for me.
No, well, it's one of those things too, where one of the days for the GPT course was actually creating an SOP. And I remember I did it based on the videos that I make. And I kept looking back. I was like, oh, I forgot. I have to do this, because if Matt decides to fire me, or I say, hey, I'm not doing this anymore, and he needs to hire somebody else, I can just hand him my SOP, like, hey, this is what I was doing.
Yeah.
But when you are so used to doing it, and it just takes 30 seconds to do, or 5 seconds to do, you don't think, oh, that's right, I need to make sure that we name it like this, and that we save it here, and that this version goes here, this goes here. Like with the WordPress, I remember when I made my first website, it was a MeWe Monday, and I said, I screenshot, I'm like, where do I write a blog post? And you're like, oh, hit blog post. It's like, I'm not seeing this. Like, I don't understand. But because you were so used to it, you're like, oh, it's actually right here if you click on that link. And I said, oh, thanks, Jack. This is awesome. Now I can write a blog post. And now, 6 years later, I know how to write a blog post, and it's not the end of the world. But if I were to teach somebody, I'd just be like, yep, click on, like, just write your blog post. Why aren't you doing it? We sometimes forget what it's like to be that brand new person learning something.
I also think we don't think enough about our own future when we're not doing things like SOPs and what have you, because do you want your business, even if it doesn't grow past you, at some point to be sellable?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you want to sell your business, and you might think, well, who'd want to buy a one-person business? Well, one person that wants a business that doesn't want to start from zero.
Yep.
And you might say, like, a standard revenue model is like 5x annual earnings is the value of a business. Well, yeah, if it's a business. But a business means when I buy it from you, I don't know if you get your brand and your customer database and what have you, and any proprietary equipment or methodology or whatever. I also have basically a business in a box, in that I should know how to pick up and start operating your business from the first week forward. And if you don't have everything documented, you're not selling a business. You're selling a domain name and a website. And any sophisticated person that's probably going to be able to cobble the money together to pay you something like 5x earnings is going to know that. And they're not going to want to buy a business that they have to figure out. They might as well build it themselves, because by the time they figure it out, they're going to lose all the momentum that they thought they were buying from you, you know. So, I mean, I don't know that I can ever sell my business, because it's so personality based, but I would be able to at least say, hey, look, if you want to pick it up and run it, here you go. Here's everything. And I think that's really, really important, because even the person says, I love what I do, I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. You don't know that. You may one day decide you want to move to Tahiti. I don't know. And you might be able to get enough money from your business and everything else you've done to do that. You want those options open.
And again, it's like I said, if I were to fire Matt and say, I'm not doing your social media anymore, I can say, hey, I'm not going to do this, but here's how I did it. So as a virtual assistant, you need to enable your clients to take care of something. God forbid something happened to me and I can't handle this stuff anymore. I need to make sure that I can say, hey, guys, this is what I was doing for you and how I did it.
Or here, listen, you want to remove something from your catalog of services. You decide, like, I'll do blog posts, social media now, but I'm not doing graphics anymore for whatever it is. If you can take your existing customers, and the reason you're doing that is you have, like, let's say you got 20 customers and you got three you're doing the one thing for, and it doesn't make you enough money and you hate it, so you want to get rid of it. If you go to those three customers and you say, look, I will give an hour of consulting to whoever you pick up to do it for you, or you, and here's an SOP of how I do everything for that thing for you, that customer's like, I'm sorry to lose you for this thing, but they're probably not firing you for the other shit, and they're not going to badmouth you. If you're like, fuck you, I don't do that anymore, they're like, oh, okay. Right? LettyLoseSucks.com is going to be online by tomorrow, right? You know what I mean? Like, no, seriously, like when you leave a customer, there are customers that are just pain in the ass people that you want to get rid of and you don't care what they do.
Absolutely.
But there's also customers like, yeah, I really like this person. I just don't want to do that particular thing for them anymore. Or they want to leave you because maybe they've outgrown you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a person that's going to refer business to you if you do it right, though, and be like, well, here's how to take this to your new company or like,
absolutely.
There's no reason not to do it, I guess, is what I'm coming at it from.
No.
And almost nobody does it at the small business level. Like,
no, and based on the ChatGPT class last time, most people were just kind of looking at, like, why do I need to do this? Where am I coming from?
Yes.
So, and I was like, oh, I love this. I can do it. And that's actually a service I offer, is drafting your SOPs for you.
Mm. I think a lot of people last time, and we'll see how it goes with this class, they weren't really into it until they did it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, it's not that hard to do, and it actually works. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to work with you, how do they find you, Luddy?
Well, if you're listening to this, you probably know who I am, and you're on Telegram or Discord, so just reach out to me. But you can go to backwoodsconsulting.com or search Backwoods Consulting on Facebook, and you'll know it's me if it's all black with some bright pink coloring, because I hate the color pink, but it starts that conversation.
Okay.
So, look for the girl who hates pink.
And I've got that, plus your Facebook, your Telegram, your LinkedIn, all here in the notes. So, folks, right down there in the video notes, there's a link at the top opening sentence that goes over to the blog post, and you can get all the links and resources from Letty and everything else we talked about today, our sponsors and what have you, about 30 minutes after the live's over. So if you click it right now, we're still live. It won't work because we're not done yet. We're almost done, but we're not done yet. Letty, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it.
Hey, folks, real quick here as we wrap up, just a couple things. One, if you have not picked up a copy of my book yet, Laws of Life, Ditch the System, Design Your Life, do consider doing so. It is, in my opinion, of course I wrote it, but in my opinion, it's a great book, and it's really great for people trying to figure out how to improve their life and a lot of the type of things that we're talking about today, and for entrepreneurs as well. Again, it's called Laws of Life. You can find it at Amazon.com. Just type Laws of Life in and you'll find it. And next up is, if you want to support our work, one of the ways you can do that is just start all your online shopping at tspaz.com. That's T-S-P-A-Z, tspaz.com. My item of the day has been running for like a week now because it's so damn good. It's these Anchor Soundcore V20i open ear headphones for $23 and change. These are some of my favorite Bluetooth earphones. Last night I was listening to audiobooks while I was watching my grandson play baseball, because except when he's on the field, baseball for high school students is not very exciting. I don't like baseball to begin with, but it made it more enjoyable, and at $23, they're great. The big thing is the ear hooks, and this is the case that they come in for those on the video. This is just a great little set of earbuds, and that hook to me is everything. And it's everything because I have had Bluetooth earpieces just jump into ponds, mud puddles, duck pools, you name it. It's never a good place when it falls out of your ear. I guess I have weird ears or something. I don't know. But the ear hook ones are the way to go, in my opinion. Again, these are $23. Even comes with an app that gives you custom graphic equalizer capabilities for all your Anchor audio devices. And even the very low cost ones at $23 work with that app. These normally actually sell for about $60. I think they're getting rid of them. This is a very common thing that Anchor does, is when they're bringing out a new product, they just liquidate the crap out of the old inventory first. When you see them make a drop that's over 50%, that's usually the case. Not always, but usually. Anyway, no matter what, if you shop there, you help support us. Also consider joining the MSB. And with that, I will catch you guys tomorrow with an expert counsel Q&A show for the week. They said you should have a house, be a married
show you a better way.